Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity. Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth. This is the 287th edition of SDG, Solo Day of Glory. And the title of today's message is Four Steps to a Rock Solid Faith. Folks, we're continuing down this Roman road. We're in Romans chapter 5. We're going to focus on the first five verses of this incredible chapter. And folks, I'm telling you, it is incredible. And I don't like to use the word awesome too much, but when I talk about God and his word, I think it's fair. We have so many people today saying, oh, I went to see an awesome movie, or that dinner was just awesome, or I just loved that musical. It was so awesome. And folks, I'm sorry, but that doesn't cut it. Awesome is a word reserved to God and his glory, God and his word, God and his incredible love for us. That's awesome. Not some movie you saw, you know, not some dinner you had, not some football game you went to. Let's reserve that word awesome for God. And by the way, yesterday, I saw some evidence of his awesome glory. We had this late winter, early spring snowfall here in western Pennsylvania, and it looked like a scene out of Narnia. I was driving up to the plant, and we got probably 5 inches. I'm looking at it out there. But it covered everything.
And every vista, every turn in the road, every scene was just incredibly beautiful. Now, that was awesome. That was an awesome example of God's glory. But, you know, I digress here, folks. I digress. I'm telling you, you just look around. Turn on the news. Follow the Twitter feed from President Trump. And there's no denying that we're living in some very desperate days. We truly are. This nation's divided. And everybody's telling us this is fake news or that's fake news. And what about all this buzz about the Ides of March right now? Sister Kathy just sent some stuff out about that. Is George Soros and Barack Hussein Obama? Let me repeat his full name, Barack Hussein Obama. At least his doing business as name right now, because he used to be Barry Satoro. Whatever he is, you know, is Soros and Obama going to unleash minions upon the streets of America now and start some kind of American spring? Just as the Federal Reserve meets on the 14th and 15th of next week to raise interest rates. And folks, you think they're doing this because the economy's strong? No, they're doing this because they want to crash it. Everybody's opposed to Trump right now. So who knows for sure? What's the solution? I don't know. And by the way, I just read another article from Sister Kathy, I think it was, that the super PAC that backed both Clinton and Obama over the years, it's gearing up again, and it's going to come out with advertisements against Trump. Come on, we're supposed to be a nation that's united, one nation under God. So who knows for sure what's going on? What's the solution? Well, I'm telling you one thing I do know for sure. We all need a rock-solid faith, and that's the biblical faith that we started looking at last week, the faith of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, folks, this is the only faith that stands fast, you know, an anchor that grips the solid rock, spiritual steel and concrete for our lives. It's the only one, folks. Now, you know, I hear a lot of people, they talk about, well, I have faith in Jesus. No. We need to have the faith of Jesus Christ. The faith of Jesus Christ. Pistos Christos. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. But now all the new translations, including the New King James, says, but by the faith in Jesus Christ. But if you go back and study the Greek and look at Young's literal translation, or if you look at the King James, it's rightly translated, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. So we're not justified by our tap water and light bulb faith. We're justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And then again in verse 20 of Galatians chapter 2, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. All the new translations, including the New King James, says, I live by faith in the Son of God. Folks, there's a huge difference in that little word, of and in. When we are born again, all things are made new, including our faith. We have some sort of supernatural change. And we receive the very faith of Jesus Christ. And that's what this study is all about today. And you can continue to see that in Galatians chapter 3, verse 22, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, and in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. It's all through there. The faith of Jesus Christ. And it's been changed. And why do you think that is? Well, Paul told the Corinthians in chapter 4, of the first letter he wrote to the Corinthians, that stewards of the mystery of God and ministers of Christ must first be found faithful. Yet so many of these people in these modern Bible translation committees are not faithful. They do not believe this is the inerrant, infallible word of God. They do not believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, died, was buried, rose on the third day, ascended into heaven where he's seated on the right hand of the Father. They don't believe in the miracles. They try to explain them away with science. And I can go on and on. Those aren't men and women who are first found faithful. Ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God must first be found faithful. That's why they don't understand this incredible thing. So what we're going to do today, folks, in these trying times, is understand that God doesn't want us to give up. He wants us to look up, and he wants us to stand on this rock solid foundation that is sure. And that foundation is literally the faith of Jesus Christ, which we receive as a gift. Now, the foundation for this amazing faith is found right here in the book of Romans. And we're going to explore it in this message in four steps or truths that are necessary in this process of biblical faith building as our tap water and light bulb faith is extracted and this faith of Jesus Christ is imputed and we receive supernatural faith. So I hope you stay tuned for this message as we learn how our conversion to Christ brings conflict and how this conflict teaches constancy and how constancy develops character and how character gives us confidence. Now, you know, folks, I'm so sick and tired of seeing Christians blown about by the winds of their circumstances and scattered by the storms of calamity that's in their lives. I used to see it all the time with Johnny. We'd do the little pre-show thing 15 minutes before the show. How are you, bro? I'm blessed. I'm so tired of hearing you're blessed. You're blessed all the time. You're being disingenuous. You're not being truthful. No, I am blessed. I am blessed. You know, we're going to see here in Romans chapter 5, verse 3, that we're to give glory in our tribulation. We're not supposed to be crying, oh, get me off this demon-infested rock. That's not how it works. And I'm so tired of seeing Christians not get this. So many of our brothers and sisters in Christ, even people in positions of teaching, are being swept away by the floods of affliction in their lives because they simply don't have this anchor that'll hold them down through the storms of life. And folks, that little study I did on the faith of versus faith in, I tried to go through that with Johnny several years ago. And he just blew me off. So pray that he understands that because he's out there touching lots of people. And we need to have this anchor. We don't want to be weak and floundering saints. No, God wants us to be strong in Christ. You know, God's in the business of building up strong saints. You know, when God gives us salvation, he's not finished with us. And that's what so many people think. They think, oh, now I can take it from here, God. No, that's just the beginning of our life of surrender. That's just our beginning of the operation of grace in our lives. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, he who hath begun a good work in you, that's when you get saved, justified, will perform it. That's your ongoing sanctification. And your ultimate glorification as we receive resurrection bodies like Jesus's. So getting saved doesn't mean somehow we're the finished product. We're not. You know, there was this guy, he used to wear this button. You know, those like those campaign buttons all the politicos wear around election time. You see them when they're passing out election propaganda and they're at the polling places, you know, vote for Trump, vote for Clinton, whatever. And all his buttons said, all it said were these series of letters. It said P. B, P, G, I, N, F, W, M, Y. And I'm not making this up, folks. Just had those letters on it. And one day someone said to him, what's that mean? What's all that gibberish? And he just shot back without even hesitating. Please be patient. God's not finished with me yet. Well, guess what, folks? God's not finished with you and me either. He wants to build into our very DNA this rock-solid faith, this biblical faith, you know, best called the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, our focus scripture from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, tells us exactly how he does this in four steps. So let's read our focus scripture right now and then dive into these four amazing truths. So I'm going to read Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Out of the King James. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Did you hear that, folks? We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in the hearts of the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It's all right there, folks. Four incredible truths. A four-step process to building this faith of Jesus Christ in us. And Jesus said, if you just have one little speck of my faith in you, the size of a grain of a mustard seed, you could say that mountain, get up and move into the sea, and it will. So when God saves us, what do you think he gives us as a byproduct of our salvation? Is it peace or is it tribulation? What do you think it is? Well, the answer is yes. You know, it's both. We read about the peace of God in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But then people stop reading. And then they don't notice verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. You know, the irony, folks, is that ministry I helped build and that ministry that I served in for over 5 years until it was hijacked is called Tribulation Now. Yet I don't hear him glorying in tribulation. I hear him moaning, get me off this demon-infested rock, come on. Folks, that's some stinking thinking. So don't think that when you get saved, it's all peace and there's no problems, no heartaches, no tears. Oh, no, it doesn't work that way, folks. God's building us up into this rock-solid faith being. And we're going to learn in this message that to do so, he has to mix in some tribulation. Tribulation now. Isn't that ironic, huh? So here's those four steps, better called four spiritual truths of faith building. And they're outlined right here in these first five verses of our focus scripture. So number one, conversion brings conflict. Just write that down. Conversion brings conflict. Now, the word tribulation actually means pressure. And that literally is what it means. But it's translated here as tribulation. So God brings this pressure into our lives after we're saved or converted. And, you know, really, when you think about it, without pressure, we can't be made into strong saints. There has to be some sort of conflict. We need pressure. And that's why I'm saying conversion brings conflict. Think about it. You know, when a diamond is formed, it begins as nothing more than a lump of coal under some really high pressure conditions for a very long time. So we need to understand that the ways of God are such that we're going to encounter this trouble or experience heartache and disappointment so that we can have this pressure in our lives after conversion. But we have to understand that God's on top of this. He's all over it, so to speak. He's got it under control, even though he may not have caused it. Now, a lot of people think that God causes this stuff. No, folks. It's a result of a lost and fallen world. The rain falls on the just and the unjust, but he uses it for his good and holy purpose. You know, Pastor Vance Havner said, I'm often amused and amazed by the way we equate Christianity with success, popularity, and prosperity. Now, we may not admit it, but we use that same old gauge that the world uses, except we use religious language. I love that, too. We have our Christianese, you know. And then he continues and he says, it would appear that gain is godliness with us. In spite of Paul's formula here in Romans 5, we mistakenly assume that godliness plus contentment equals prosperity. And that's not what Paul's saying here, folks. So the bottom line is that the first step in God building up a rock-solid faith, the faith of Jesus Christ in us, is conflict. And Paul tells us so. Right here in verse 3. And you can take it to the bank, folks. When you get saved, there's going to be conflict. But then he also tells us in verse 3 that we need to glory in that tribulation. That's why I just kind of went off on what I used to experience with John. And folks, I just ask that you pray for him. Because that is not the proper testimony. That's not the proper witness we as Christians should be having in a lost and fallen world. We shouldn't be walking around like a lot of humped over question marks, questioning our salvation, questioning our life in Christ, questioning why all these things are happening to me. Oh, woe is me. Get me off this demon-infested rock. Oh, no, we should be walking around like exclamation points, glorying in tribulation, because we know what it's doing in the faith-building process in our lives. So just remember that word tribulation. It means conflict or pressure. And then spiritual truth number two is conflict teaches constancy. Notice again from verse 3, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. So just exactly what is this patience that Paul's talking about right here? Well, he's not talking about the ability to thread a needle or to work out a real complicated jigsaw puzzle or crossword puzzle. That's not the type of patience he's talking about here. This word patience used here means constancy or consistency. So when that pressure or crisis comes, it doesn't make you crack, but rather it reveals the true grit that you have in you now that you're saved. It starts to reveal that, you know? So, you know, that same sun that melts the ice is the same sun that hardens the clay. So just remember what this word patience means. It means endurance. And the truth is that we're never going to learn much about anything that's worth learning if we don't have this constancy, this endurance, this patience in us. We just won't. Think about it for a minute. You know, if you want to learn how to play the piano or the guitar, what do you have to do? You have to start by the basics. You have to learn the scales and the chords, and you just have to practice and practice and practice. You know, I learned to play both of those instruments, and it is so tedious. And I never got very good at it because I just didn't want to stick to the basics. I didn't have endurance in my practicing. And folks, you'll never learn Greek if you don't want to study the verbs. You won't. Sorry about it, folks. It's just the way it is. And if you want to lose weight, you have to stay the course. You have to have constancy, consistency. And how about character? If you want to build character, you must persevere and endure. I'm telling you, folks, there's no such thing as instant maturity. There isn't. Conversion brings conflict, and conflict is meant to teach us this continuance or staying the course or constancy. And the Bible calls it patience right here. So what do most people do when this conflict or tribulation comes? Well, there are four things that people can do, but most people do these first three. Some people retreat. They just run away from the conflict, and they can do that physically or emotionally. Some even do it spiritually. You know, they can buy a plane ticket and just fly away, assume a new identity, leave all their cares and troubles behind. Others take a pill or they dive into a bottle of booze. Some use a needle, and some even end it all with a gun. They just run from the conflict. That's the point I'm trying to make. So when conflict comes, they retreat. And others, they get resentful. They say, well, I gave my heart to Jesus. You know, I went down and I got baptized. I started going on Sundays. I even taught Sunday school. Now look what happened to me, you know? Or they may say, well, you have no idea how much time I sacrifice for these radio shows. You don't know how much I don't have a life. This is my life. Like we're earning salvation or something, you know? And then they start pouting and they develop a grudge against God. They even become cynical. So these folks, they don't retreat. They get resentful. And then there's others, they just resign. They cave in and give up. They lie down on the battlefield, the spiritual battlefield, so to speak, and they wave the white flag and let the enemy come over and pick them up, make them a POW. They give in to discouragement, and they become despondent. But folks, this isn't God's plan. God's plan is not for us to retreat or get resentful or to resign. No, he wants us to resolve. Resolved by the faith of Jesus Christ that we will follow him. The world behind us, the cross before us. I'll follow him. You know, this true biblical faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, is shown in the life of true believers by patience and constancy more than any other way. It truly is. So if you really want to grow in the faith of Jesus Christ, then when trouble comes, when tribulation comes, you must learn to endure. You must learn to glory in the tribulation. You got to just lift your hands and say, I am blessed. Praise the Lord. And I used to get chastised by John for that. You know, this biblical faith isn't receiving the things we want nearly as much as it's accepting from God the things that he gives. You understand that difference, folks? So tribulation is working patience. So don't try to wiggle out of tribulation when God's working this pressure in you. You know, Job said in Job chapter 13, verse 15, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. So don't go crying. Get me off this demon-infested rock. No, glory in the tribulation because God's doing a good work in you folks. You know, Prime Minister Winston Churchill, the leader of England during World War II, he looked like a bulldog. And when he stood, he even had that stance of a bulldog. And he was famously quoted saying time and time again to the Brits during World War II, never, never, never give up. You know, he reminded us of a bull grip, a bulldog with that nose as it slants backwards. And the reason a bulldog has that nose is because he can get a grip on whatever he's biting, and he can still breathe. And that's a bulldog. And we all need to get that bulldog grip on Almighty God. And like Job, we just need to say, I don't care what's happening in my life, God. I don't care what my children do. I don't care what the doctor tells me, what my banker tells me about my finances. I will not let go of you and your promises. My anchor holds fast. Folks, are you doing that? Well, that's what constancy or this consistency entails. William Barclay, you know, Barclay quotes. You can buy that book, and a lot of people use it. When they're public speaking, they'll pick one of his quotes, and then they'll build an inspirational talk after that quote. Now, he describes it very well. I'm going to read one of his little snippets. And he says, and I'm quoting William Barclay, "It is not the patience that can sit down and bow its head and let things descend upon it and passively endure until the storm has passed. It is the spirit which can bear things, not simply with resignation, but with blazing hope. It is not the spirit which sits statically enduring in one place, but the spirit which bears things because it knows that these things are leading to a goal of glory. It is not patience which grimly waits for the end, but patience which radiantly hopes for the dawn." Folks, when you greet me and things are tough and I say I'm blessed, this is why I say it. I'm delighting in tribulation. I'm truly blessed because I know what God's doing in my life. And that's the kind of endurance that a children of God must have. So we've seen so far that Paul's saying that conversion brings conflict. So get ready for it, folks. It's coming. And then conflicts teaching us to have consistency. And then this consistency, it develops character in our lives. So listen again to verse 4, and patience, experience. So what does Paul mean when he uses this term experience here? Well, patience or consistency brings character, and God wants to build into us character, literally his character. He wants to build us up in the rock-solid faith, the biblical faith, the faith of Jesus Christ. And he's building up his saints with spiritual steel and concrete, so to speak. We're reinforced by nothing in us, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, our reputation is what others think about us, whereas our character is what God and your spouse truly know about you. And God wants to build character into our lives. He wants to supernaturally infuse us with his. You know, this word experience was used in biblical times by goldsmiths as they tried the gold ore in a fire and worked it and kind of drew the dross off, the sludge, until it came out pure. In fact, this whole concept here used a lot of the same lingo and terminology that was used by these goldsmiths as they refined gold and they saw the true character of the gold come out. In other words, God's going to put into you and me a fire of affliction to test us, to try us, to draw off the dross. And folks, write this down. Pay attention to what I'm going to say next. You know, the truth is that a faith that can't be tested cannot be trusted. So God puts into our lives these fires of affliction, this tribulation to test us and to try us. And that's the way we learn how much dross or garbage there is in our lives that needs to be burned out of it. So that's the sludge that comes out of the gold ore. And that's the way God builds character. Now, I hate to say this, but it's true. The times that I've grown the most in my walk with Jesus, and the times that you're going to grow the most with your walk with Jesus, is as you go through sorrow and pressure and trouble. Isn't that true? Stop moaning and groaning about tribulation in your life and saying, get me off this demon-infested rock, and start glorying in tribulation. Because the truth is that God's refining us in these fires of affliction. You know, some unknown author wrote these words, and I love them. This is, again, another one of those ones I've got to get Terry to do in calligraphy. I've walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and not a word said she, but oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. So God wants to build character into your life and mine, folks. That's what he's doing here. You know, God doesn't want to move the difficulty and pain out of our lives. He doesn't want to remove it. In fact, just the contrary. God's in what I can call the transformation business. So what the point I'm trying to make is that he doesn't take away evil. What God does is he transforms us in the midst of it. Think about it. God didn't stop the crucifixion. He gave us Easter. God's method isn't a method of substitution. Now, most of us want God to give us health instead of sickness, wealth instead of poverty, friendship instead of loneliness. In other words, we want God to substitute things, but God doesn't work that way because God's in the transformation business. That's what he told us in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. For those in Christ, all things are made new. All things. And that word there in Greek is metamorphosis. So it's a transformation. You know, think about it. God took Paul's weakness and transformed it into strength. He tells us that. He took his suffering and transformed it into glory. And that's the reason why Job said in Job 23, verse 10, he knoweth the way that I should take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So, folks, I'm telling you, God wants to build his character into you and me. And honestly, there's no way he's going to do it. There's no way that we're going to receive his character, also translated as experience, these tribulation times, without these trying times, without this pressure. And I believe that's the reason the King James Version translates it as experience. These translators, all 57 of them, they really knew the Greek. They lived it. From the time they were like 6 years old, they were fluent in Greek. Some of them were teaching Greek to others. So it's so important that we understand this concept of trying or being refined. You know, someone once asked a businessman, how did you become a successful businessman? And he said, good decisions. And the other replied, well, that's fine, but where do you learn how to make good decisions? And he said, experience. And then the other said, well, where do you get experience? And he replied without hesitation, from bad decisions. So the point here is that God wants to put us into the furnace of affliction to build our character. Now, we can be instantly spiritual, but we cannot be instantly mature. And by the way, although we can be young once, we can continue to be immature for a very, very long time. And it's not cute anymore when a 35-year-old is talking baby talk or still wearing diapers. So get this, folks. Conversion brings conflict. Conflict teaches constancy. Constancy builds character. And if we stay in that fire and persevere, God's going to do a good work in us. Yet sadly, most of us want to jump out of that fire. We don't want to stay there. Get me off this demon-infested rock. Like Johnny must say that every show at least 3 or 4 times. Now, the refiner knows that the gold's pure when he can look down into that molten crucible full of that molten metal and see his face reflected back in it. So what God's looking for in you and me is his character, his likeness reflected in our lives. As the dross of the old man is burned off. Now, here's the fourth and final truth in this process that occurs after godly character is refined in all of us as believers. And this godly character, what it does is it gives us confidence. And that's the last thing. That's the rock solid faith I'm talking about, folks. The confidence that comes when we know that we know. Listen to it right here in God's word. And patience, experience, and experience what? Hope. Now, what does the Bible mean when it says hope? Well, it doesn't mean maybe so or might be. No, we need to understand this. And we need to understand what biblical hope is, or we're going to miss the whole point of this study. You know, when the Bible uses the word hope, it means a rock solid faith. For example, the second coming of Jesus is called the blessed hope. It's not a blessed maybe. Paul's talking about a hope that we can put our anchor on. As the anchor of our soul. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 reads, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Now, what good is an anchor without a solid rock to latch onto? Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast. Now you may say, well, I want a rock solid faith. Okay. Well, remember, conversion brings conflict. Write this down, folks. Conversion brings conflict. Conflict teaching us constancy, and constancy brings character, and character brings forth confidence. So you've been through the fire and you know God's not failed you. That's what it's all about. He keeps his word. You know that neither death, as Paul said, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Do you know what hope is? Hope is faith in the future tense. You know, hope believes God not only for the present, but also believes God for the future. Thomas Brook says, hope can see heaven through the thickest clouds. So it doesn't matter what. It doesn't matter what. It doesn't. Whatever could be happening. You know, the market could collapse this week. We could see an American spring unleash on our city streets as Soros has his paid goons out there agitating and stirring up the masses. You know, we could see Obama wages proxy war two blocks away from the White House. We can see all this stuff happen, but we can have an absolute confidence. Paul says here, in patience, experience, and experience hope. Now listen to this, folks, and hope maketh not ashamed. Now, what's that mean, maketh not ashamed? Well, it means it'll never disappoint you. He cannot fail. He will not fail. But we need to get a bulldog grip on these truths, a grip that really understands and hangs on, a faith that counts, you know, a hope, a trust. The truth is that no one ever has or ever can put their trust in Jesus and be disappointed or ashamed. They never will be. They can't be. You know, when you know Jesus, and that day comes in your life when you touch those chilly waters of death and the winds are blowing, your anchor's going to hold, folks. You're going to have that rock solid faith, that biblical faith, that faith of Jesus Christ. And that's what biblical hope means. So remember, and write this down, folks, and try to live it out this week. Your conversion brings conflict. Conflict teaches you constancy. Constancy builds character in you. And that character enables you to trust God in the darkest of the storms that you encounter in this life. We have is an anchor of the soul. You know, the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians talked about those who were lost, and he talked about them being alienated from the life of God without hope in this world. Now, aren't you glad that's not you? Aren't you glad that you have this biblical hope? Not a maybe, but a true biblical hope, a certainty. And that's what we have today, and it all begins with a conversion. So if you're listening to me right now and you're not sure you're saved, let me tell you how you can go about to be saved. And folks, it's nothing you do. It's all by the grace of God. In fact, if you're just inclined to hear this right now and you're not sure you're saved, that's by the grace of God. He's wooing you in. He's drawing you in. So just say a prayer like this. And there's nothing magical about these words, but just talk to him like you're talking to your dad. Lord Jesus, I know that you love me. Thank you for paying my sin debt in full by your blood on the cross. I know my sin deserves judgment. Thank you for taking my judgment on you. Thank you for bearing the penalty of my sin. Thank you for being my substitute on the cross. Oh, what a great love that is. Thank you for that great love. Thank you, Lord. And now just by your faith, it's starting to work in me. I open up my heart and I surrender to you. I receive you. I believe you're the Son of God and God the Son. I believe you paid my sin debt in full. I believe you were raised from the dead by that same Spirit. That same Spirit that sat on the throne. And right now, I forsake all and I surrender to you. Please come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Forgive my sin. Cleanse me and save me, Lord Jesus. I'm not looking for some special feeling, Jesus. I'm not. I'm not looking for some sign in the heavens. I'm just standing on your word. And I'm trusting you by your faith in me. Now that you're my Lord and Savior, God, I know that you're my guide and my friend. And Lord Jesus, because you died for me, I'll live for you. I won't be ashamed of you. I ask that you give me the strength to stand firm. And I'll confess you openly and follow you the rest of the days of my life. by your grace and for your glory, I pray this. Amen. Folks, I believe that if you prayed that as a heartfelt prayer with godly sorrow, that prayer didn't save you, but God heard it and Jesus did. So let's all go out this week and just allow that rock solid faith to begin to grow in us as we do nothing more than glory in the tribulation and know that perseverance builds character and character hope. And this godly hope, it'll never disappoint us, folks. It never will. Now, I love y'all, and I'll be back next week with another message out of the book of Romans, provided the Lord's willing. I love y'all.
Is done. We'll walk by faith and not by sight.